Revelation chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 6 today. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat upon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And behold, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come. I just ask that you'll give us all wisdom to hear your word, to study your word. I ask that you'll give me the strength that I need to proclaim your word and to proclaim it truthfully, and that all can hear and receive it and give you the praise and honor for it, dear Lord. So please, today, I just ask, as we watch judgment being handed out here, that you will just touch our hearts and burden our hearts for those that are lost, that need a Savior, and they need to find you, Lord Jesus. And please today be the day that they do that, that your Spirit is able to penetrate into that heart, and that they will receive you and accept you as their Savior and begin a wonderful walk. And Father, that walk for all that are saved is a walk of strength and of power if we choose to depend upon you, if we choose to come and study your word and fellowship together and study your word at home and fellowship with you, dear Lord, that you will show us your way and will and give us your strength and power to go through each day and witness for you each day and be strong for you each day and glorify your name each and every day. So please, dear Lord, today be the beginning of a new direction, a new life possibly in many lives if we'll just follow your way and your will. So please speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We start with this white horse, the Lamb. We have spent much time looking at who was worthy to open the seals. Who was worthy? And we know here that the one that was worthy is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He is worthy to open these seals. And he begins then to open them. And as John heard, and I heard, as it were, a noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And so these four beasts, these four creatures, are coming to assist in the reading and proclaiming of what's in these seals. And yet we see that the very one and the only one that is capable of opening them is, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first one was a white horse. And we looked at that just a moment last week. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Invitation to come and see. And then to hear the words from John saying, "I saw this rider on this white horse, this mighty horse." This is things again, and keep the calendar of events in place. Downstairs we have stretched out many dates and activities that's going to take place. And we started at creation and we brought it to date. And we have all those things, the important events that have taken place through the Scripture, and to keep us on track of where we're located today. And we find that we're just awaiting His coming. And that's the reason that I chose those beautiful hymns this morning, and to see that we should be excited. There should be nothing more on our heart and our mind that is more important to us than the very fact that He is coming, and He's coming soon. We get bogged down with all the things of the day because I believe we have forgotten that He is coming. He has told us He's coming. He saved us, and He's coming to get us. And with everything that's going on in the world, we know that today has got to be a day that is so soon that He could come. He could come instantly for us right now. He could come. And so please be prepared, be looking for it, be excited about it. Because the times that we're looking at here, we will not experience, because we're going to be in the heavens and we're not going to be down here upon earth. And that's where this is taking place, down upon earth. This great white horse comes. The rider upon it is not, we think of a white horse being something good. Again, the Antichrist is the one that's going to be riding that horse. The Antichrist will come, and he'll come with power and with strength. And he will come the opposite of Christ, and yet he wants to be like Christ. He wants to come, and he's going to seem like he brings peace to this earth for a period of time. And so when we look at this Antichrist, the rider upon this white horse, he comes and he brings a bow but no arrows. And so there'll be very little bloodshed that's going to take place during this time. And so as we look at this liar, anti means opposite, and yet he still comes on a white horse. He puts on light. He puts on something white so he makes himself look righteous and look good. He makes himself look like a mighty leader. And it is just the opposite. Inside him, he is the most evil, wicked individual. And we see that. And we know that. But the appearance is something different. The appearance is something different. This rider, again, is none other than the Antichrist. We know that our Lord, Jehovah, is great and is wonderful. The rider upon this horse is the devil in the flesh. He's a cheat. He's a copycat. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer. We have the bow and we have the crown. This crown that we're looking at here is a crown that is not given for victory. You know, sometimes a crown is given for victory. Not in this case. This crown is a crown representing royalty or to be of imperial power. And so this crown that he has put upon his head gives that appearance. He offers the world peace without bloodshed. Peace without bloodshed. You know, you could read this or you could read the paper today. And it seems as though that we have many antichrists that are out there today. In 1963, in the month of January, Nikita Khrushchev cried, "Peace, peace, peace." And it was concerning the Cuban crisis. And he was the one that yelled peace, a communist. And yet he was the one that yelled peace. And he come, and he took some of the rockets away. He pulled the troops off of the island of Cuba. And he come, and he gave the appearance as a peacemaker. He was a communist, and yet he was a peacemaker to the world. Put on a white coat. Put on the crown of peace. And yet he was still a very evil man. He was a picture of the Antichrist. And we have many pictures through the Scripture of the Antichrist. Has the appearance, again, of the Antichrist. We have today, to the nations, we find one that just this past week received the Nobel Peace Prize because he gives the appearance of peace. To the world, he appears to be a peacemaker because he doesn't come with guns and strength. He comes with negotiations and peace. He too is another picture of the Antichrist that's to come. The rider of this white horse, he comes and he becomes an idol to all the nations. The nations that set God aside. Nations that do not love God. He is an idol to them, this white horse. Those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, naturally then, someone that becomes an idol is someone that you begin to worship. And so the world, during this tribulation period, we're going to be gone. But the beginning of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years, will be a time of seemingly peace. And that's this white horse, and the one that rides this white horse. He is going to, again, a bow with no arrows. He's going to talk himself into peace. And he's going to give that appearance. And those that do not love Jesus Christ and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, they will turn to him and they will worship him and they will honor him as a peacemaker. As a peacemaker. To this point, all have been forerunners of the Antichrist. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ. All we see today, to date, have been forerunners to the Antichrist. The mimic, the phony, the liar. And this one will be just like that. We come now to the third verse, the opening of the second seal. First one is going to seem to bring peace. Be very little bloodshed during that time. War will really cease to exist during that time. And then comes the second one. And he opened the second seal in verse 3. And I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. The other six of the seals say, "I saw," or "I beheld." But this seal, the second, John said, "I heard." This does not mean that he does not witness this as an eyewitness, because he did. The second beast said to John, "Come and see." Then begins the continuing statements. When the white horse had completed his mission, the red horse comes onto the scene. "Come. Come, John, and look." There was a red horse. Why is this second horse red? The first horse was white. The white horse denotes peace and victory. And that's the Antichrist coming to bring supposed peace and victory upon this earth. But the red horse is just the opposite. Comes picturing and denoting slaughter and rivers of blood. There are verses of Scripture that help us to see this. And if you'll go with me to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63, and we're going to read verses 2 through 4. We find the judgment of God is coming. And we think of the Lord Jesus. We think of the end of the tribulation when the battle of Armageddon is raging on, and right before the nation of Israel is wiped off the map, Jesus will come and will come with him to slaughter all the enemies of Christ. All those that have rejected Christ will be put to death at that time. And we know that there will be literally bridal deep of blood flowing down through the valleys. But judgment comes at other times. Judgment against the lost. "Wherefore thou art red in thine apparel, thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. and I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. When we look at what's taking place here, we see that the red horse is probably going to appear about 3.5 years into the tribulation. The rider is not named, but we know that it's a man because it refers to him with the pronoun him. And so there is a man upon this red horse. And we see something here that I don't want you to miss. And that is the power was given him. The power was given him. Do you think that there is a time that God is not in control? I mean, when you see some of the things that are going on in the world today, have went on in the past, do you ever wonder that God has lost control? Well, he hasn't. He hasn't. He hands out this power. He has given power to this rider on this red horse to do what he's going to do. Now say, why would a loving, caring God bring such judgment upon the people and what's the slaughter that's going to come? We'll talk about in a minute. Why would a God that is just a God of love do such a thing? God is a God of judgment and a God of justice. And you reject Jesus Christ, you are going to die. You are dead in your trespasses and sins right now. And there'll be a physical judgment that's going to come upon you if you choose to reject Jesus Christ. God is a God of love. He sent his Son. He made it with no price, no cost. You can trust in him and come by faith to him, but the world has rejected him. The world has rejected the most precious thing to God the Father, and that's his Son. Anyone that you talk to that says, no, I don't believe in that, or I don't want that, they have rejected God, they've rejected Jesus Christ. If they have, they have stopped, they have eliminated, they are the ones that will go to hell. We deserve hell. We deserve the lake of fire. But anyone that's trusted in Jesus will not have to face that time. We're going to face and be rejoicing the face-to-face with our Lord and Savior, as the hymn said. We're going to enjoy that fellowship. We're going to love that fellowship. But for those that reject him, God is just. God is fair. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. I thought when I was studying yesterday, you know, and heard a message this morning from 6 to 6:30. I don't ever want to miss. Good preacher, and I love listening to his preaching. And he was preaching on the church and the desire and the need for fellowship. And when the times get closer to the end, it's a greater time that we must come together. And we must fellowship and we must grow together, because times are going to get so tough that we're going to need each other. We're going to need each other. And the statement was made is when the church is raptured and you're a believer, are you going to leave most of your friends here? The people that you spend time with, that you fellowship with, are they going to stay here? Well, if you want to keep your friends, you might want to see if you can ask God back for that. Why do you want to go to heaven? You don't want to spend time with believers here. You don't want to spend time with the Lord in his word here. Why? Have you thought about that? That the day that you're raptured, that those people are lost, that you run around with, that you know and you fellowship with, when you're raptured, you're leaving them here to go into this time. This time, how can you call them friends? How can you have fellowship with them? Why would you want to have fellowship with them? Why? I guess I have to ask, where's our heart? Where's our heart? Because we don't seem to care to give the gospel to them, and they're going to go into this time. Again, I would rather have an enemy here upon earth and tell them about Jesus and have them hate me for it than not tell them. Not beg them for salvation. Do we understand what's coming? This first 3.5 years is going to be simple 3.5 years. They're going to say that Larry was crazy. This time, if they heard about the rapture and the rapture's gone, that crosses through their mind that, you know, maybe that was true. But they said it wasn't nothing to it, because that first 3.5 years, we got a peacemaker here. We've been looking for this peacemaker all of my life, and we have him here today. I'm glad those Christians are gone. It's going to seem like peace. But then the red horse arrives. And if they have any memory of what they heard, if they have any memory of what you told them concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they have any memory of telling them what was to come, I believe they'll remember. And when this time starts, this red horse, power was given him. That power was given to him by none other than our Lord. He gives that power. There's only one that has the power, and that is our Lord. And he gives this one power to destroy the enemy. Now, we have many examples of that. One is with Pharaoh. And if you want to go back with me to Romans, and then we won't look the other one up, but we have many. Let's go back to Romans chapter 9, verse 14. Romans chapter 9, 14th verse, we're going to read down through verse 23. Now, Romans 9, 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth ye yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the things formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Pharaoh. Pharaoh was an individual that God empowered so that he could show his power and glory. And many times through time, we have to have God used Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar come in and destroyed and leveled the temple to show his power and show his strength. Used an enemy of God. He uses these people to bring us to a place of humility and a place that we will honor God. Israel had become so ungodly that God had to take them out of their land and take them away. In the year 70, that took place. But God's grace is wonderful because His promise is good. And in 1948, they returned to that land. And there will be a full return during these end times. God's mercy. But God uses. He used Pharaoh, an evil man, a wicked man. Wouldn't leave the children of Israel go. But through that process of those plagues, they were allowed to see the power of God. God gives the power to this red horse. To carry his work out. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 29:29. I want you to see this verse. Deuteronomy 29:29. Should be something easy for you to remember. If you wonder why God would use evil men, empower them to do such a thing of destruction as this red horse is going to do, or do something as Pharaoh did in abusing the nation of Israel, do something like Nebuchadnezzar did in capturing and taking to captivity the nation of Israel, why would God give power to these men to do this? Verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us, and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, you remember that verse of Scripture the next time that you question something God's doing. One man said, if we mind our own business, and if we watch our own ways, we have our hands full. So suppose that we let God take care of His part and we take care of ours. And I think that's a beautiful way to say it. God does not show us all that He has in mind. Most of the time, after the fact, you know, we got pretty good hindsight. We can look back and say, yes, God, now I see what You were doing. Sometimes not so, but eternity will show us all that God is doing and the way He does it. But when we begin to question what He does and the things that the way the process He does it in, again, our plate is full just to take the Word and what He shows us and let's use it and let's let God take care of His and we will get along with great fellowship with our God. Let Him do what He's doing. What He tells us is fine. What He chooses not to tell us is fine. But let us learn to just take what we have, enjoy it, praise Him for it, and grow. So again, the power that this red horse has was given to him by none other than our Lord. Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. John 19:11, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given from above. Remember the discussion with Pontius Pilate? Pontius Pilate said before the crucifixion of the Lord, don't you realize, Jesus, that I hold your life in my hands? And Jesus informed him that that was not so. What a wonderful God that we have. What a wonderful God that we serve. Know that He is in control. Yes, when some enemy seems to be taking over, there's a reason for it. There's a purpose for it. There was a purpose for the captivity in Babylon because they had to learn that God was God. And they had long forgotten that. Israel needed to see God's power before they left Egypt. They need to see His mighty strength. And so we need to understand that God is God. And God informs us of some things and some things He doesn't. But don't spend time trying to figure out the things he doesn't. Just praise him for the things that he has given us. He has given us salvation. He has given us wisdom through each day. Again, the first period of time here was a period of peace and progress, and everything seemed to be working great. This is following the rapture of the church and about 3.5 years into it. Little or no blood was shed. But the next, the red horse, he, on the other hand, will be a bloody conqueror. Power will be given him. He will possess a great sword. Not the one with the bow and no arrow. This one will have a great sword. And he will take, as the scripture says, peace from the earth. Verse 4. There went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Blood. It's going to flow in the rivers. There's going to be so much death. We see some of these things taking place today. And that's part of it that's going to seem like that the Antichrist, the first 3.5 years, is a good man. He's going to deceive multitudes. Because he's going to come and he's going to bring peace. He's going to settle all this down. But the evil that man has against man, the value of life today, of human life, is below animal life to most of the world. They would sooner see a man die than a cat or a dog die. That's God's creation. They're animals. They have no soul. But we treat them like gods. We take care of them greater than we take care of our brothers and sisters. And the world has taught our children through school. The world has taught our children through television that animals have life. You just spend a few minutes on the cartoon channel. And they talk and they walk and they feel. No, they don't. The only part of that is the walk. But they have brought them to life that they can pervert and ruin our children, thinking that they're of such great value. And this time as it comes with human life having no value. With human life having no value, this horseman, this rider of the red horse, will come. And they will bring an anger between man. And it will be the strongest, the most people that, they will come. And they will try to kill you. So you will either be killed or kill one or the other. But in the hearts and the minds of these people that are during this time, this Antichrist, this rider of this red horse will have such an ability to affect people so that they will have such an anger and a vengeance for each other that mankind will just begin to kill each other. It's not going to be the swipe of the sword of this one man. It's going to be each other. He's going to bring a thought and a mindset onto this world that everyone will hate everybody and not just hate him, but desire and follow through to kill. And you look today. You check the news today. And used to be you had to go to some big city of Chicago or Los Angeles or St. Louis or some place that was a big city where you would find murders and things like that. Now it's right our doorstep. In our communities, Keokuk, Quincy, Carthage, it doesn't have to get. We've had murder here in this town. Because man has no value to life. And so it's already placed there. And this man's going to bring peace. So he's going to settle that down for a little bit. That first 3.5 years. But that second 3.5 years, then he is going to bring out what they really have in their heart. A hatred and a vengeance. And they're going to begin. And they're literally going to kill each other. It's going to be just like a wild, rabid dog that you can't stop. It's going to be like a dog that started to kill chickens. If you ever had a dog that started to kill chickens, you know, they say you can tie that dead chicken around the dog's neck, and after a while that'll cure him. Well, I don't know about that, but you'll never eat chicken again because of the stink and the odor that goes on by doing that. But you have to get that, you have to put that dog to death. I mean, you have to kill him because he doesn't, once he gets that taste of blood, there's no stopping him. And it's going to be the same way with man. They're going to have that same a desire. They're going to get a taste of blood, and once they kill once, it's going to give them a thrill, and they're going to kill again and again and again. And that's what's going to go on the last 3.5 years. That's this red horse. We're living in such a day of hatred. This stirring of the anger up between. Whatever the cost. Whatever it takes. They'll do to destroy each other because of the hatreds there. We'll begin with the gray horse. The third seal as it's opened. The black horse, I'm sorry. Verse 5, the black horse. That'll be the next. Please, don't miss any of these studies. And I hope that you realize the need to come to be here, because God in His words clearly tells us that we're to be here, to come and fellowship with each other and not miss, because it is necessary. It's necessary. And God knows what's right. This time is going to be a most terrible time, the worst time in all history of war and bloodshed. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to be here. If you don't, you will. If He comes today, you'll be ushered right into that time. And you'll have to face that. We all have family members and friends that are lost. We need a stirring in our heart, a burden in our heart that talks to those people, even if they never speak to us again. I mean, do it out of love, not out of judgment, not out of any other way, but just, you know, I love you so much. Please, I beg you to come. And if they reject it, here's where they'll be. Here's where they'll be. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I thank you for your strength, and please continue to grow us, strengthen us. As believers, those that do not know you as their Savior, I just ask that your Spirit today can get down into that heart and show them their sin and show them your great love and how that you have taken that all away if they'll just trust in you, and can give you a life of strength and of power and of wisdom that they can't gain any place, anywhere, with any amount of time. Thank you, dear Father, for your great love. Thank you for giving us the chance, the opportunity of salvation. And I thank you that my old evil, wicked ways didn't reject that. But I come. Thank you, Lord, for making it so clear and so simple. And I hope that in the preaching and as we fellowship with believers, that we make it the same way. Don't make it difficult, make it simple. Father, in the study of John, as we look at the radio, they come and they talk about as the disciples begin to be called, and he says, come and see, come and see. That's the invitation. They come and they believed. So today, dear Lord, those that are lost, please that they come and believe. Now touch every heart for whatever the need is today, please. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.